Il dit que nous avons une certaine nombre de souffles qui est à nous dans cette vie. Si par exemple vous avez de l'argent dans la banque et si vous ne touchez pas, ça reste le même montant.
So if you stop your breathing, then you can increase your duration.
De la même façon, si on arrête à respirer, on peut prolonger la durée de vie.
That is yogic practice, breathing exercise.
Voilà le pratique du yoga.
And samadhi means stop breathing.
Et samadhi signifie arrêter totalement à respirer.
So if you don't spend your duration of life by more breathing, then you increase your life. Still there are yogis who are 300, 400 years old.
Il y a toujours en Inde ces yogis.
Oui. I had also a great friend in India called Sri Krishna Prem. You have known him?
Yes, professor in Lucknow University. His name was Mr. Nixon.
Lucknow?
Nixon?
Nixon.
Nixon?
Yes, his name was Nixon.
Professor?
Kotovsky.
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 He's the director of Indology in Moscow. So my talk which was published in some...
Yes, I have this book in my office in Paris.
But he does not believe in incarnation. And he still is professor of Indology.
Il dit qu'il ne croit pas...
Oui, j'ai compris. Il ne croit pas en l'incarnation et les professeurs d'indologie.
Quand même.
He doesn't believe in the soul. Professor Kotovsky, he doesn't believe in the existence of soul.
But I think that he's a Marxist.
Yes, he's a
Marxist. Yes, so I think...
Or at least he has to appear as one to maintain his position.
Yes.
Prabhupada's point...
There are many professors of in Russia, in... religion, on history of religion, but who don't believe in nothing.
That was Prabhupada's point, that it's ironic that in modern societies men are called professors for being proficient in knowledge, but yet they're ignorant of the soul, which is the most basic knowledge,
yes,
the most fundamental knowledge.
Yes.
According to the Vedic system, Indian system, even the most ignorant man knows about the soul. What to speak of the great learned sages. But in this society, Western society, the so-called learned men, they're supposed to be the topmost learned men. They don't even know of the soul. Therefore, they're not even in the class of an ignorant man. They're lower than even ignorance.
And according to Vedic understanding, one who does not understand what is soul, he identifies himself with this body, he's animal.
A fundamental idea of Christian spirituality.
Attendez, j'ai mal compris. Vous dites la conception védique.
Oui, c'est que si on ne croit pas à l'âme, il se trouve dans la même catégorie que les animaux.
Oui, oui.
So, in the Vedic language, one who has taken this body as self. Jashatma buddhi gunapi tridhatuke and sadhik kalatradishu and own man with the family, society, community, national, not outside that. Sadhi, they are my own man. Sadhik kalatradisu bhuma ijadhi and the land of birth, worshipable, nationalism. Jatitha buddhi shalile nakarhichit and holy place to take bath in the water of Jordan or Ganges. Such persons are considered as gokhara, Go means cow, Kara means ass. That means animals.
Il dit que les gens qui pensent que ma famille, mes enfants, mon pays sont adorables, que je deviens purifié en visitant les endroits sacres pour me baigner dans les fleuves. Ces gens se trouvent dans le même groupe que les vaches et les ânes.
What is your conception of the soul? Do you believe in the soul?
Il me pose une question. Qu'est-ce que c'est votre conception?
You understand?
I understand. My conception of soul.
Right.
Pouvez-vous could you precise your question? Because what do you mean by this?
Soul.
Yes, I know. I cannot say that I know what is soul. I know that there are souls, that I have a soul. But I think that it's very difficult to give adequate command. Because it's difficult to give a definition.
He says he knows that he has a soul, but he thinks it would be hard to give an accurate definition of the soul.
If he knows what is soul, what is it difficult to give definition?
To translate it's easier.
Il dit que si vous acceptez que vous possédez une âme, comment ça se fait que vous avez du mal pour la définir?
Parce que le verbe de définir, je ne sais pas comment on peut définir la nature de l'âme, n'est-ce pas? Qu'est-ce que l'âme est une réalité, le nom, tout au moins dans la plupart des langues, indique, n'est-ce pas, qu'il est un souffle vital, n'est-ce pas, comme racine en latin, dans toutes les langues, mais de là à savoir comment définir, je ne sais pas. J'aurais d'ailleurs la même difficulté si l'on me demandait de définir ce qu'est mon corps. Je peux évidemment définir d'une manière descriptive, un corps, par exemple, mais une réalité spirituelle ne se définit pas si aisément, n'est-ce pas, d'une manière phénoménologique.
Oui. So he says he can accept that he has a soul.
Certainly, I accept.
But it would be hard to describe. He thinks that the nature of the soul. He said a body, which is something tangible, we can describe, but something of a spiritual nature like the soul must be much more difficult to describe.
You can describe it by the negative way. That soul is not body.
Dit que on peut, n'est-ce pas, le définir d'une manière négative, c'est-à-dire que l'âme n'est pas le corps.
Oui, ça c'est certainement. Encore faut-il d'ailleurs le problème du rapport entre les deux.
Then we are still left with the problem. What is the relationship between the two?
Yeah. First of all, let us understand what is the soul. But that is describing the Bhagavad Gita. Na jayata na mayati makadachi nitta shasato yang na hannati hannavani sharire adadhyayam asosayam akledyaham. Read those paragraphs.
Na jayate mayate va kadachi nayam bhutva bhagita va nabhuya ajo nitya shasato yang purana na hanyate hanyamani sharire. Translation. For the soul, there is never birth nor death, nor having once been, does he ever cease to be. He is unborn, eternal, ever existing, undying, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain.
Voilà dans la Bhagavad Gita, le verset 20 dans le deuxième chapitre. Il n'y a pas de naissance ni de mort pour l'âme. L'âme continue à exister éternellement. Il n'a pas de naissance, elle est éternelle, elle ne meurt pas, elle est primordiale. Elle ne meurt pas quand le corps meurt.
Next verse.
Veda vinashitam nityam yainam ajivam ajamavyayam katam sa purushak partha kam gatayati hantikam.
O Partha, how can a person who knows that the soul is indestructible, unborn, eternal, and immutable, kill anyone or cause anyone to kill? Comment ça se fait qu'une personne qui sait parfaitement bien que l'âme est indestructible, non née, éternelle et immuable, peut-il tuer quiconque ou être la cause pour quelqu'un d'autre à tuer?
Nothing to say against, but I cannot say that it is a definition. Do you say in English definition?
Yeah, definition.
I cannot say that it is a definition. It is a sort of
a characteristic.
It's a sort of creed of profession.
No,
of
it is characteristic.
Yes.
Definition means you mention the characteristic. That is definition.
Yes, absolutely.
Definition, you mention the characteristic. So that can be mentioned directly. Or if it is not perceivable, then you can define in opposite way.
Dit que quand, quand la définition directe de quelque chose n'est pas disponible, on peut le préciser d'une manière indirecte en décrivant les caractéristiques.
Just like we have got experience, everything in the material world, it is beginning. There is a beginning, anything of this, your body, mind, body, everything. It has got a beginning and it has got an end. So, it is stated, na jayate na mriyate va. It has no beginning, no end.
Just comme, par exemple, nous avons d'expérience que dans ce monde matériel, toutes choses ont un commencement et une fin. Et donc l'âme, telle que la définition nous a décrit tout à l'heure, l'âme n'a déjà été, n'a pas de commencement ni de fin.
And nitya, eternal, shashvata, very old, purana, na hannate hannamane sarire, it is not destroyed, annihilated, after the destruction of the body.
L'âme n'est pas annihilée avec l'annihilation du corps matériel.
So, if we accept this definition, then we can understand the soul is eternal.
Donc, si on accepte cette définition, on peut préciser quelque chose au sujet.
Or characteristic. If we accept this characteristic, na hannate hannamane sarire, after the destruction of body, the soul is never destroyed. Then you can understand the soul is eternal.
Si
and it is clearly said, stated, na hannate hannamane sarire. After the destruction of the body, it is not destroyed. So, it means it takes another body.
La conclusion alors, c'est que si l'âme n'est pas détruite au moment de la mort, donc l'âme, en quittant ce corps, doit en prendre un autre.
Nous entrons dans le domaine des croyances, n'est-ce pas? Et là, ça ne découle pas logiquement. C'est un point de vue que je connais bien, n'est-ce pas? Enfin, là, ne découle pas fatalement. C'est une option. Le premier point, même si l'on admet le premier point, le deuxième ne découle pas, disons.
He says that's not necessarily the logical conclusion. He says he's familiar with that theory, but it's more a question of faith. He says it's not actually a logical conclusion that if the soul leaves this body, it must take another one.
What does he mean by logic?
Qu'est-ce que vous voulez dire par logiquement?
J'entends que ça ne s'impose pas d'une manière évidente à moi.
That he says that means that it's not something that's very evident to me.
Hmm. It may not be evident to him, but why not others?
À vous, peut-être pas, mais à beaucoup d'autres, ça semble très logique.
Je n'en doute pas. D'ailleurs, je trouve qu'il est très bien qu'en général, que de telles choses ne puissent pas être d'une évidence absolue, parce que si c'était d'une évidence absolue, ce serait contraignant. Et par conséquent, ce serait une atteinte absolue à la liberté.
Mm. He says, one thing is that he feels kind of glad that it's more or less a question of opinion. Because if it was absolute truth, then it would be too restricting for everyone.
No, it is absolute truth. But there are different ways of understanding absolute truth. He is taking only one way, direct perception.
Il dit non, c'est la vérité absolue, mais on peut apercevoir la vérité absolue de différents points de vision. Et vous, par exemple, vous prenez le point de perception directe, empirique, on peut dire.
Oh non, parce que la croyance chrétienne n'est pas non plus n'est pas du tout démontrable d'une manière n'est pas plus davantage démontrable par des voies purement logiques.
Que la vérité absolue n'est pas démontrable par la logique.
Je veux dire que l'on admette ce qu'on a dit sur la réincarnation ou que l'on n'admette pas cela, de toute façon, ce n'est pas des choses qui s'imposent d'une manière évidente à chacun. D'ailleurs, si ça s'imposait d'une manière évidente, tout le monde croirait.
He said, if it were an absolute truth, it would be evident to everyone.
Yes, but everyone is not advanced in knowledge.
Mais ce n'est pas que tout le monde est très avancé dans la connaissance spirituelle. Donc, si la chose n'est pas évidente à tout le monde, on peut comprendre. Oui.
Je vois ce que vous voulez dire par là. Mais il y a aussi des gens d'une grande spiritualité qui n'admettent pas cela, n'est-ce pas? Donc ça, mon problème, enfin la question demeure, n'est-ce pas?
He says the question remains because there are other very spiritually advanced men who don't accept that idea.
No, somebody may be known as spiritually advanced according to the society, but he may not be.
Peut-être à travers l'opinion populaire, quelqu'un a un peu de renommée comme un homme, en étant un homme spirituel, mais ça c'est d'autres choses.
Another thing is that what is the way of understanding the absolute truth? Let him explain.
Une autre chose, peut-être une question plus à base, c'est quelle est la façon de comprendre la vérité absolue?
What is the standard way of understanding absolute truth?
Quel est le moyen à travers lequel il faut comprendre la vérité absolue?
Je n'ai pas de réponse dans le cadre de cette problématique.
He says he doesn't have an answer in that kind of a context.
No context, problematic.
It may be problematic to some, but absolute truth can be understood by shruti, authoritative hearing.
Il dit qu'on peut comprendre la vérité absolue par le shruti, qui signifie écouter d'une autorité, quelqu'un faisant autorité.
When the absolute reveals himself, then Shruti means the absolute knowledge from the absolute, from God.
Shruti signifie quand la vérité absolue se révèle elle-même, la connaissance provenant du suprême lui-même.
Yes. The absolute truth is known by the absolute method, which is called Shruti, hearing from the absolute.
La vérité absolue peut être comprise par quelqu'un qui la reçoit par la voix absolue, c'est-à-dire shruti, ou écouter de l'absolu.
Absolute cannot be imagined or speculated.
On ne peut pas arriver à la vérité absolue par l'imagination ou par la spéculation mentale.
D'accord, ce dernier point, c'est un point fondamental de la spiritualité chrétienne orientale.
So that is a fundamental point.
Yes. So therefore, we accept absolute truth from the absolute.
Donc, quant à nous, nous acceptons la vérité absolue de la vérité absolue.
And according to the Vedic system, in different times, in different places, according to the mentality and the culture of the people, the absolute has made himself known on different levels, higher and lower levels, but that the absolute, as revealed through the Vedas, specifically the Bhagavad Gita, is the most advanced level, It is the standard by which all other levels are judged. It is the most advanced, complete knowledge.
Yes, I know this. I know this. C'est-à-dire que je connais. Enfin, je ne l'ai pas expérimenté.
But it's not just an opinion. It's not just a secular idea. By scientific principle, if we consider the logic of all the propositions of Bhagavad Gita in relation to the Bible, the Quran, if we're actually impartial and open, then we'll understand that truth. It's not a matter of opinion, it's a matter of superior logic, extending the same basic truths to their highest perfection. So in discussing the merits of Bhagavad Gita versus another scripture, it's not that we're trying to argue just for the sake of polemics, but to establish the real standard. What is the most elevated or advanced standard of the knowledge?
But people are suffering due to lack of that accurate knowledge.
Yeah.
And our Krishna consciousness movement is trying to make that knowledge available in practical activity to stop this suffering. It is not just a philosophy without practice. That is the reason why it is important for discussing, not just for the sake of discussing, but for the sake of bringing out the highest principles for action.
So according to Vedic way, Krishna is the absolute truth. Krishna is absolutely accepted by the acharyas. Indian civilization is carried on the advice of the acharya sampradaya. So all the acharyas, like Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, they all accept Krishna as the absolute truth. So when we hear from Krishna, then we get absolute knowledge.
Il dit que selon les Védas, Krishna est accepté comme la vérité absolue. Surtout par toutes les acharyas, les grands maîtres spirituels de l'Inde, la civilisation indienne se penche sur l'autorité de ces acharyas, comme Sripad Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, etc.
The reason why we gather like this to discuss these principles is that just like a group of scholars will gather to refine and crystallize their knowledge.
D'accord. He must excuse himself. He has prior engagement.
I thank you so much for your... I must go now.
C'est très court, j'ai été extrêmement content de ce contact. Je souhaite un bon séjour ici.
I just want to finish the one point I was making. That the reason we gather like this and we desire to discuss with other personalities, other people from different views of religion is for the sake of the edification of everyone. So that the highest principles can be isolated, and so we can advance the purpose of religiosity.
Excuse me.
It's not simply for the sake of argument, it's not simply for the sake of argument that we pose questions, but it's for the sake of the edification or the crystallization of the highest principles of religion.
I absolutely agree on this point. Mais je dois avouer en même temps que je suis venu, mais je ne suis pas du tout. Je connais ces questions-là, mais je ne suis pas du tout un spécialiste.
He says he's familiar with this principle.
Not so familiar, I know.
He says he knows of it, but he doesn't consider himself to be an expert.
Yes.
But because you're a part of God, you have real interest in this.
Certainly, I am.
Everyone.
J'ai évidemment un grand intérêt et un grand respect pour une des croyances qui me paraît comporter justement sa logique interne, logique étant entendue dans le bon sens, c'est-à-dire non pas dans un sens rationaliste, mais dans un sens d'une cohérence interne. Vous voyez ce que je veux dire? Non, je vais répéter. Je dis, je comprends très bien même ce que je n'admets pas, parce que c'est une doctrine qui a sa parfaite cohérence interne.
He's willing to admit this philosophy, even though he doesn't belong to it himself. He sees this as being un aspect d'une culture spéciale.
Sa cohérence interne parfaite.
He appreciates the fact that it has a coherent aspect that it holds together logically, and this is what he appreciates.
He respects the Vaishnava philosophy because it is substantial. It doesn't contradict itself.
Les éléments, c'est ça, voilà, les éléments s'accordent entre eux.
Yes. It doesn't contradict itself.
So then if the Vaishnava philosophy has a systematic logic, then if integrity would dictate that we have to surrender or accept that logic. If a logic is true, we can't stand apart from it and simply observe it. We have to accept it ourselves.
Je m'excuse que je ne veux pas discuter, non pas par... Ça m'intéresserait beaucoup, mais ça nous prendrait... Je n'ai pas le temps, malheureusement. Ça serait une longue discussion, n'est-ce pas? Parce que tout le problème est à partir des présupposés, des bases. Je suis tout à fait d'accord que si l'on admet pleinement certaines bases, tout la suite se suit logiquement, n'est-ce pas? Voilà ce que je veux. Mais je m'excuse de ne pas poursuivre parce que j'exprimerai mes pensées d'une manière trop simpliste. Alors je ne veux pas, en le faisant brièvement, n'est-ce pas? Je m'excuse de ne pas poursuivre cette discussion, non pas par son manque d'intérêt, mais au contraire par son grand intérêt. Et comme je suis malheureusement assez pressé, je ne pourrais pas
vous exprimer. You're right on the brink of absolute truth. Don't run away.
So he wants to.
He says that even though he has a great interest in this discussion, because he has prior commitments,
so
he's unable to.
That's how it is.
Of course. It's a prashadam.
No. Bon séjour à Paris.
Oh, I have. It is the same that you have given to me.
C'est une discussion.
This is me. He's already received. He already has the books.
He has got.
Professor Gostowski. Oui, je l'ai. On me l'a donné quand on est venu me voir.
That's all. Yes.
I have, and I have read with great interest.
Excusez-moi d'être resté si brièvement, mais je ne pensais pas que je pensais que c'était simplement une visite formelle.
Oui,
c'est pour cela que nous le.
Vous savez, c'est une formelle visite.
I was thinking that it was only a formal visit. C'est pour ça que je m'excuse de rester si brièvement. Dites que je m'excuse de rester si brièvement.
Peut-être vous pouvez revenir.
Si même.
Quand vous aurez. Tomorrow night we have very nice conference in Sao Playa.
I have seen in many places. I have seen this.
So you're welcome to come.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Take all that.
This man was. What is his position?
He's the head of the Russian Orthodox Church.
He's the head of the church, but he cannot. Feels he's not qualified to discuss spiritual matters.
Once last year, a man in London, a professor at a religious school, said the same thing. And you said that, according to our Vedic philosophy, if a teacher doesn't know something, he should step down. His answer was, I can't do that. Fundamental questions have remained mute for such people like this who are supposed to be qualified to bring other people out of the distress.
That's why the church now has lost everyone, because even its leaders are saying, I don't know anything. I'm just fumbling around like everyone else. I don't really know anything definite.
Still his leader?
Yes.
If the impersonalists, Lord Chaitanya said that they are the greatest offenders to Lord Krishna. So most of the so-called religious people of the world today, if they have a conception of God, it is that God is impersonal spirit. Does that mean that they are to be classified, at least in terms of of this understanding amongst the demons and asuras?
No. In this instance, this man is, it's not as much that he's an impersonalist as he has no clear idea one way or the other. He's ignorant. An impersonalist is someone in the classic sense who has, you know, he's aware of the Vaishnava philosophy, but he rejects that. That God is definitely not a person. And he takes that as being a lower conception.
In ignorance, though, even though he's in ignorance, he's hurting people due to his ignorance. By he's claiming to be a teacher, and even though he may be innocent or ignorant, it's because he's in that position of leader, he's actually hurting people. Wasting their life.
He left Sri Prabhupada because he was very afraid that we were right. He was very afraid because...
He said he had another engagement.
Yes,
sir. In the world today, it seems as if, just like the men, take advantage of women and make them topless and bottomless. Also, they try and encourage people like this to be leaders of religion. That way, the mass of people don't take any real interest. They do this in Russia, too. Is they kill the sincere religious leaders, and they put their own men as a religious leader, and just sort of undermines the whole purity and the importance of the instruction. And no one listens.
In the West also, in the past 10 years, there's been a resurgence of what's called fundamentalism. For so long, the Christian liturgy, the Christian doctrine, got so hodgepodge and so wishy-washy that people were leaving because there was simply nothing there solid for them to grasp onto. Now, fundamentalism, or the very basic principles that God is the Almighty and that we are sinners, and if we don't repent, God's going to strike us down with wrath and anger. That basic principle of fear of God, that is receiving new support. Many people are coming back to that because even though it's a very vague thing, still it's something definite. God is there, and if I do something wrong, he's going to cut me down. Rather than, well, nothing's wrong, nothing's right, it's all hodgepodge, wish-wash. People can't grasp onto that. There's nothing for them to
there is Mayavad. Nothing wrong, nothing right. Everything is all right. Vivekananda Spilazar.
Prabhupada, I think we'll leave around 7:30, so perhaps you can take a little rest before the engagement.